This is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, bringing you News of the World. Tonight, International, the biggest black curtain on news since war's end. Washington, the man who met the Red Spy now meets the senators. New York, we're doing business with Russia, but precious little. London, the Olympics and the Americans. Now a brief message from Tom Moore.
Having a tough time keeping comfortable these hot August days? Well, of course, there's nothing like a cool ocean breeze or the North Woods. But when you're a long way from them, it's a good idea to know of something else that can help you endure the heat. Now, here are three steps, and we hope you'll try them because they can be mighty effective. One, eat light, easily digested meals. Two, take more salt than usual with your food. And three, for the headache and the acid stomach upset that so often add to your hot weather discomfort, drink a glass of sparkling, refreshing Alka-Seltzer. Yes, try Alka-Seltzer and see how quickly its alkalizing properties neutralize and reduce the gastric hyperacidity of an acid stomach upset. Now, always have Alka-Seltzer on hand. Never be without it in your home. When you go to your drugstore for Alka-Seltzer, buy two packages instead of one. For an extra package on the side, keeps a family well supplied. That's good advice. And if you heed it, you'll have Alka-Seltzer when you need it. Now, Alka-Seltzer brings you the noted commentator, author, and reporter, Morgan Beatty.
The four great powers continue tonight to conduct conversations on peace or war behind the greatest black curtain that's been lowered since the end of World War II. In Washington, nobody in the higher echelons denies that the secrecy has a purpose, that peace or war is at stake in delicate negotiations. Paris and London hear that the odds favor peace, but there's no confirmation on the Potomac or in the Kremlin. In Berlin, American Colonel R.A. Willard reveals that we're planning a new airfield, and we'll be using 20,000 German laborers to expand the airlift. In Belgrade, at the Danube Conference, Russia's Andrei Vyshinsky makes no bones about it. Soviet Russia intends to dictate the terms of economic peace in the Balkans. But whatever the outcome of four-power conversations, there is a growing conviction in high places, in London, Paris, Washington, that Joseph Stalin is no longer at the helm for Soviet Russia. For that exclusive story recorded, here's Henry Cassidy in London.
Marshal Stalin, supposedly the most powerful man in the world, may be only a lump of butter at the head of the stairs, a European diplomat told me tonight. And whatever happened at Stalin's meeting in Moscow last night with the three envoys from the West, it will not be decisive in Western relations with Russia. Several days, if not weeks, will go by before we know the final answer. The story that Stalin is no longer master of all he surveys is an old one, often told and often denied. But it cannot be denied that he himself is getting old, going on 69. The years and the war have taken their toll of his strength. It's interesting to note that when the Western envoys asked Molotov Saturday for an appointment with Stalin, they were told the request would be taken up by the interested persons, plural. That revived the idea that Stalin may be a prisoner of the Politburo. It raised the possibility that anything he said last night may later be reversed, and that accounts for the policy of the Western powers in the present stage of negotiation. The policy is one of absolute secrecy to prevent the further confidential negotiations from being prejudiced. And the official word is, there may be no news for some time. That is, to prevent the public pulse from jumping up and down merely because Stalin received the ambassador. The Western policy is one of firmness. There will be no appeasement. The West will not hold a conference under the duress of the Berlin blockade, but the policy is also one of moderation. There will be no undue pressure on Moscow while every possible road to peace is explored. This is Henry Cassidy in London.
Communism absorbed the interest of Washington today. Ex-communist Whitaker Chambers told a House committee that he broke away from the communist underground and climbed into a senior editorship with Time magazine. He agreed there was a red underground in Washington, headed by former government officials. He named Alger Hiss of the State Department and Nathan Witt of the National Labor Relations Board, among others. Another witness before a Senate committee, government economist William W. Remington, admitted he had participated in traffic with ex-communist Elizabeth Bentley, but unwittingly, and he gave her no secrets, he said. But why, he was asked, did he meet her on street corners and in parks? Here's his recorded reply.
The lady called me on at least two or three occasions to say, I'm way uptown, I'm in a hurry. I recall her saying, I'm in a hurry, I have a luncheon date in the middle of town. Could you meet me at a halfway point, either just before my luncheon date or just after? Because that's the only time I'll have a chance to talk. And I was, as I've said, 24. I was not a high official. I was paid $3,200 a year. I was silly enough to not to realize that it was an unusual and preposterous procedure.
And what is Mr. Remington's family and political background? Here's his answer.
Sir, I am happy to say that all of the relatives, all of my relatives by blood, to whom I've ever known anything about, have never voted anything but Republican. I'm proud to say.
Where did they live?
They lived in New Jersey, sir. And I am proud to say that I, too, have voted Republican. I was brought up as a Republican. I am also happy to say, equally happy to say, I might add, gentlemen, that I defected from the Republican Party and I have voted Democratic as well.
And why have so many government executives sought out the services of Mr. Remington despite FBI investigations? His reply.
I am well known to hundreds of economists in this town who value my services, or have valued them at various times. I'm not so sure they will in the future, but now, because I think my professional reputation has been dragged from here into the middle of hell, and I'm not sure what's going to happen. But, sir, my reputation as an economist in this town has been good enough for me to get jobs from many people of varied background in various agencies. And I stand behind my record as a student, as a scholar, as a government employee, and all other ways.
Now, what do you think about Mr. Remington? And on top of all current disputes is the issue of trade between America and the USSR. Here's the story by W.W. Chaplin in New York.
Recent minor turmoil over the fumigation of a Russian ship arriving here called attention to the fact that we still are doing business with Russia. Here are the facts. 4 Russian ships arrived here, New York and Baltimore, last month. Only one is so far scheduled for this month. The last export-import month for which there is federal record is May. We got $200 million worth of material that month from Russia, chrome ore, manganese, and furs. They got from us general cargo, not critical materials, worth $7,400,000, about 1/30th what we got from them, and a droplet in the bucket of world trade. In May a year ago, we were getting only 1/8 as much from them as we did this year. They, well over half what they got this May. Both counts are up, but the ratio very much in our favor. There is no specific State Department Russian embargo list. There does seem to be an unofficial list known in all government departments. To take anything out of this country, you need a Department of Commerce export license. Commerce each time asks, how much of that stuff do you already have, and what do you plan to do with this? Russia, allergic to questioning, usually refuses to answer, so it doesn't get many licenses. That's our control. There have been charges. It is officially acknowledged that there has been some traffic in altered, even forged, export licenses. But Commerce says new procedure and expanded enforcement personnel will soon stop that. This is W.W. Chaplin in New York.
In sports today, American contenders continue to win world athletic honors for the United States. For the story recorded, we cross the Atlantic now to the Olympic Games.
Good evening. This is Bill Stern speaking from London, where Olympic records continued to fall. First this morning, America made a clean sweep of the women's 3-meter diving, with Vicki Davies taking first, Zoanne Olsen second, and Pat Elsner third, all girls from the West Coast. However, America did not fare well in the water polo, losing to Sweden 7-0. But by this afternoon, the United States was back on its winning ways. And therein lies the story of the day. There have been rumors here in London that all was not well between our 3 top sprint men, Harrison Dillard, Barney Ewell, and Mel Patton. The story said that Dillard and Ewell felt that America's track coach, Dean Cromwell, was favoring Patton and had openly predicted that Patton would beat both of them. What made this quite a story was the fact that in the 100-meter dash, both Dillard and Ewell beat Patton. However, today the order was reversed in the final of the 200-meter dash as Mel Patton beat Barney Ewell. In other events today, 2 Americans, Delaney and Thompson, both cracked the Olympic record in the shot put. And other Olympic marks went by the boards in the 10,000-meter walk and in the women's 80-meter backstroke. Several members of the American team this afternoon received an unexpected honor. when they were included in a party that was taken to Buckingham Palace to meet the King and Queen of England. London newspapers tonight are carrying front-page stories pertaining to yesterday's ticket scandal, in which officials of both the French and Finnish teams were asked to leave the grounds because they were trying to make money by selling tickets to the game. The French officials have been given permission to dispose of their tickets at regular box office prices. But one member of the Finnish team has been found guilty of trying to sell his tickets at speculator prices and has been dropped from the games and sent back to Finland. This is Bill Stern in London.
Now, around the world by datelines in a minute and a half. Washington. The Republican High Command has called a party conference for tomorrow to decide what to do about civil rights legislation and what to pass in the way of inflation controls. Here are the probabilities. The Senate majority will admit the defeat they expected at the hands of Southern filibusterers on civil rights, and they'll probably drop the issue. They'll charge, of course, that the president's own party killed civil rights. On inflation control, the Republicans may drive for credit restrictions to reduce the volume of active money throughout the country, but that decision is still up in the air. As for adjournment, the majority hopes to wind up Congress by Saturday night and go back to normal politics. Campaign speeches, fence mending at home. President Truman ignored these developments today. He sent to Capitol Hill a mild form of excess profits tax legislation, a measure that would collect an extra $4 billion, perhaps more, from peacetime profits. The Republicans have already consigned it to the wastebasket. Dayton, Ohio. The guns, bayonets, and tanks of the Ohio National Guard enforced peace at the Univis lens plant today. Workers returned to work in numbers. The guardsmen broke up one group of strike sympathizers with a display of bayonets, another with tear gas bombs. Cross country, no daylight baseball, and that's what happened around the world today.
Morgan Beatty will return with some more late news. Whenever you have a headache, remember this. Alka-Seltzer can give really fast, really effective relief. Just try it and see. Drop one or two Alka-Seltzer tablets into a glass of water, listen to it fizz, then drink it. Since Alka-Seltzer is completely dissolved before you take it, the pain-relieving agent's ready to go right to work. And because of its effervescent base, that's the fizz, you know, Alka-Seltzer gets there fast, gives fast relief. Yes, take Alka-Seltzer for that headache. Let it help you feel better fast.
Don't take chances. Are you sure you're getting all the essential vitamins you need from the food you eat? Remember this. Government surveys show that the meals of 3 out of 4 persons are short on vitamins. Don't take chances. Instead, take one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. Lack of vitamins in your food can cause you to feel under par and run down. Don't take chances. Instead, take one-a-day brand multiple vitamins. 60 capsules, 2 months supply, only $2 at any drugstore. Potency guaranteed by Miles Laboratories. Lack of vitamins in your food can keep you from feeling your best and looking your best. Take one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules.
Now, here again is Morgan Beatty.
And here are signs of our times. Budapest, Hungary. Arpad Zakosits, a socialist who wears communist breeches, became president of Hungary today. 30 members of parliament walked out during his election, and after they left, it was unanimous. Winona, Minnesota. Here's a housing problem with a new wrinkle. Mrs. Philip Wilson was tossed out of her rented 5-room house yesterday together with 6 children. She moved to City Hall, put blankets on the corridor floor, and set up housekeeping. The Salvation Army offered to put up the family at a hotel for one night at the Army's expense. No, said Mrs. Wilson, I'm not destitute. I can pay rent. My husband is working in Missouri. My 2 oldest boys are working in Winona. What I want is a house. Los Angeles. The torch singer Boots Bartell appeared before the judge today and asked for a divorce from her musician husband, Burton Sievert. Burton, she said, told her he couldn't stand it when the baby cried. Rather singular, said Justice George Dockweiler. Singular indeed that a musician can't stand a little noise. Boots got the papers. And that's the news of the world. Until tomorrow at this same time, this is Morgan Beatty speaking for Alka-Seltzer, saying goodbye from the newsroom in Washington.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.